Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today on the program, I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Dr. Carrie McMahon. She'll be with me for just over the first half of the program and talking about medicine and miracles. She is a medical doctor and someone who performs high-risk surgeries and at the same time is a person of great faith who prays with people for healing. So we're going to see how the Lord has brought these two realities together in her life, and really as a wonderful sign of what he has done in the history of the church, but is making alive today in a new way. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you, Father, for the gift of healing, for the gift of life and new life that your Son Jesus has won for us. Jesus, I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us as the divine physician, as someone who works not only through what you have created, Lord, in this world, in the natural world, through medical science and through healthcare systems, but that, Lord, you work as well beyond. You go beyond, Lord, in what you do by working in supernatural ways to bring about healing in every dimension of our lives. Lord, give us an increased faith, an expectant faith, to have that reality come more alive in us today. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. After the interview with Dr. Carrie McMahon, I'll come back and we'll dive into some of these themes more fully. Okay? Let's not delay any longer. Well, I want to welcome to the program Dr. Carrie McMahon. Dr. McMahon is a high-risk obstetrician at St. Joseph's Medical Center in Tacoma, but I just know her as an anointed woman of God. I think that one's a lot more fun, Carrie. I don't know about you.
I like that. That's good.
take that one, right? That's one that'll be carried forward into heaven, right? It's like when you burst through the pearly gates and the Lord just draws you in because of the magnificence of his mercy and the power of his Spirit bringing you through. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, the doctor side of things is going to show up, but it's going to be a lot more about knowing Jesus, I think. What do you think?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and here's the funny thing is that, again, I think the first time I saw or met you is it's probably 20 years ago. It was at some charismatic conference or some event, and you were speaking. And I remember I was with Carrie and my wife, and I was like, wow, she's good. Not that I was surprised, like seeing you, to think that
you haven't met me. It's okay.
But
it's good to be skeptical if you're not sure.
I don't know if I was, well, here's the thing. I guess it's skeptical or maybe I don't have, as always, a high bar, right? And you came in and you just like leapt over it by a mile. And I was just like, and here's the thing, right? So you know that when someone speaks, I can remember hearing a speaker give John Paul II's theology of the person as gift, right? So that's such a powerful, like life-changing, right? So an encounter, that's the identity, right? That idea of discovering your identity. But he spoke it and I almost fell asleep. But here's the thing, he was correct. What he said was correct, but it didn't connect. It didn't have impact because it was like you knew the content, but you missed the essence, the core, the burning, like living truth. It was as if it wasn't alive in him. And I think that's in so many ways what we need are compelling witnesses who speak from this truth that has been seared into the core of their being. And it's like, well, this is, I can't not but live this truth.
Amen. I love that. Yeah. Thank you. That's a very nice compliment. Thank you.
Well, it took me a while to unfold it, but there you go.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, I know it's been a delight. Carrie and I had a chance to sit with you and Steve at a wedding a couple months ago.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
That was Okay, folks, you don't see this. We're over Zoom. And she said, "That's great," but she was shaking her head. Not, she wasn't nodding her head.
Oh, we are
She was.
fans of Dr. Tom Curran for sure, and Carrie. We
So
had a great time at dinner.
it was fun. Poor Steve. He felt like he was watching a tennis match go on. We're smacking comments back and forth. And I don't know, poor Steve. I think he got bruised
Why I call
five
him
times
Saint
from my.
Steve. Yeah, he's
What's that?
Saint Steve and Saint Steve and Saint Carrie. That's why we have our spouses that we have, right?
Nice. I like that. I like that. Okay, but I said something and I kind of teed it up in a way that is it's going to be different because I said, "Oh, this isn't because you're a doctor. This is because you're a person who is a follower of Christ." But today we're
Yeah.
actually going to talk about something that shows that those two worlds are not separate. That in
Yeah,
fact,
amen.
the Lord created you as Carrie. He implanted in you this desire and these capabilities and these opportunities for you to become this obstetrician, this person who is in the medical field, right? Two hands in, all in, and as a person of faith, and that these realities actually go hand in hand. And today we're going to talk about how you have lived that, and not just lived it, but it has led you to actually develop a nonprofit organization called Kingdom Medicine, that there's a place where miracles and medicine meet, that healing has multiple forms of occurring and flourishing. And we're here on a station that is on a platform that is based in faith, and yet we all go to the doctors when we're sick. We all go to the doctors when we're sick. And so I just know I'd love to start off with you, Carrie, and just to say there was something inside of you that said, "I've got a mission in life that has led me into the medical field and to be at service of families that are in vulnerable circumstances." And yet that was connected to your life of faith. And then that bloomed and blossomed in you in the way that it has over the course of your career. So tell us a bit about that journey.
Well, I went into medicine because I just had this hunger, like which I think most people who are working in medicine in any kind of context have this hunger to be part of a healing process for someone and really to see people experience healing. And I didn't really like think that faith was part of that other than me walking out my faith in terms of how I practice and ethics and moral decision making. And then I had a patient that was really like had a 95% chance of dying in childbirth, and she was by all intents and purposes everyone had written her off, and she ended up being my patient. And she was, when I first saw her, was addicted to drugs and had an alcohol addiction and was not sober. And through the process of taking care of her and her becoming sober, she had this realization she was going likely to die. And she came into my clinic and grabbed my hands and just said, "Would you pray with me?" And that process of kind of walking that out with her and seeing how God just transformed her to me, and how it changed me, but also that he actually did do a miracle and she survived, just really opened me up to this whole other realm of like, gosh, we're supposed to walk with God in everything we do. Like, he's not a Sunday church God, he's a God in every moment of our lives. And so like to it just it was mind-blowing to me, because in medical school, they don't talk about that. They don't talk about that you can bring God into your clinic with you, into the hospital setting with you. And so I was so hooked on healing ministry from that encounter with her and what God had done. And she, like I said, she survived childbirth, she didn't die, and God did this incredible miracle. But I also think just praying with her week to week, he really changed my heart. And I had this new joy. Like, I think that, right now in healthcare, people really need to be revived. They need to be like, brought back that joy of that, we did do this because we want to see people healed, and we have this incredible God that is the God of healing that we can bring into that. And so that's kind of been my journey over the last 20 years, just trying to figure out what does that look like. What does it really mean to walk with God in everything you do? Like, how do I bring him into my decision making? How do I bring him into every surgery I do? Like, how do I really lean into his heart for every patient? And I probably made every mistake in the book, like, because in medicine it's a little bit different than if you're praying with somebody on the street. Like, informed consent is a pretty big part of that. Like, you don't want people to feel like you're trying to coerce them or get them to be a certain religion, but where you're really just making this statement of like, we have this incredible God that heals, and I want you to know this God that heals as part of your healing journey. And I've been really blessed in the last 20 years to have just incredible staff. I think at one time one of my nurses was a Pentecostal minister, which, she was outside every clinic room just, praying like over like the Holy Spirit come into this space when I was with patients. And I've had incredible receptionists that just really were the face of Christ to patients in crisis when they came in. And it just really opened up my heart that, like, for all of us, at some point in time in our lives, we're probably going to encounter the healthcare system, and that is just a reality. And that, don't you want that to look like that when you step into that hospital setting, from the receptionist all the way to the end, that you are meeting the face of Christ in everyone you experience? And and in that time of sickness when people are in need, it's such a beautiful time to bring Christ's presence. So that is, in a nutshell, where this all started.
Well, no, and it's fascinating because I guess when it started for you, it was probably still in the midst of a time where there was a very strong idea of separation of church and state, and that flowed over into how you practice medicine, right? And yet with let's call it the collapse of Christendom in large measure, where the society is no longer just overtly people of faith are welcomed and received and all of that. I think it has actually broken open an opportunity for people to become more bold about the fact that we are people of faith, and that is central to our identity, and that ought to play a part in really crucial situations. Like, oh, by the way, when we're very sick and facing significant decisions and potentially negative outcomes, to know that we can bring our faith to bear into that setting overtly and have it be welcomed, that just seems like a huge gift, but it takes a lot of courage.
It does take a lot of courage, but I think, one of the things I've learned over the years is if I really press into God's heart, like, I pray over my patients before I go to work, I pray over my surgeries, I really lean into his heart for every patient, and he gives me opportunity to bring his presence, and he directs that encounter. And I don't pray with every patient. I don't even pray for healing with every patient. Sometimes the Lord gives me a word he wants to share with someone, like maybe he and I, something that he wants to say. And I just have found that that is such an incredible gift to patients. And I've also found that, in the last 20 years, I have prayed over thousands of patients. I've only had two that said no, which I think is interesting. And I think it's, some of it is how you approach it. Like, I think I always want to give people the opportunity to like, if I do have something for them to say no and have that not compromise their care. But I have found that, like, even my Muslim patients and my Jewish patients and even my patients with no faith, in the midst of a crisis, that's when people are much more open to receive prayer. I think that some of the latest, like, I think I was reading in the Pew stats that, like, even if people say that they're not religious, 75% of people still in time of crisis will pray. And I think, the church has always used the hospital systems as a great tool of evangelism, like, from the beginning. Like, like, we are so blessed in our Catholic faith to have so many Catholic hospital systems. I think there's 187 in my particular, like, CHI Franciscan Common Spirit hospital system. So, like, the Catholic hospitals, like, have such a beautiful place to play or role to play in terms of healing. But we've lost some of our identity as a Catholic hospital, and we've lost some of that walking in faith. We've come much more secularized. And so this is really that move of trying to think about, how do we bring that back in? Like, how do we do that? Like, it, but again, still honoring what the patient wants, but, like, how do we continue to walk in this calling that's over all of our lives to, like, God didn't say, like, us, just to be like walking our faith part of the day. We're called to walk in at every single moment. So what does that really look like? Whether, even if you're not in medicine, if you're in business, or if you're a stay-home mom, or, like, what does it really look like to walk in the presence of Christ in every moment of your day? And that's my heart. Like, that's my heart. I'm just trying to do it in healthcare.
I love this. Again, I'm talking with Dr. Carrie McMahon. And folks, I'm going to have you go to kingdommedicine.org, kingdommedicine.org. You're going to learn a ton about this nonprofit organization she started and about a special event happening in Lexington, Kentucky. But I'm telling you about it because you'll be able to access it from wherever you are in the Puget Sound, in the state of Washington, in Idaho, wherever you're listening to this. You'll be able to access this incredible event that brings together, I think, about 15 different Carrie McMahons to talk to you.
way better than Carrie McMahon. There's Dr. Bob Schutz in there.
I know. We'll talk about that. But here's what I want to say. One of the things that will come from this is something you said, and you said it in passing, but it's a principle, folks, that I'm guessing you may have already utilized in your own life. And I don't want you to miss it, right? Like if I said to you folks, how many of you have been praying for your kids' future spouses? And that's a common practice. I'm going to pray for my kids' future spouses for years before they even meet, right? Yeah. I pray for my daughter's future convents that they'll go into, right? Yeah, that hasn't worked yet, but that's I can keep praying. The idea is that before something happens, you can be praying for it in order to have it make space and have be blessed and all of that. When I went on the Camino last year, that's a journey as a pilgrim. I was praying for a couple of months for all the people I would ever meet on that Camino day to day. And then when I would wake up each day and walk a stage, I'd pray for whoever it was, Lord, that you have me to meet up with today. And you said this, you said, I pray over every person that I'll be doing surgery over or I'll be meeting with. And I'm like, well, you pray over them? And I'm like, oh, before work, before you go to work, you're praying in advance for everything that'll happen during the course of your day. Brothers and sisters, you can do that too. You might think, oh, I'm not like Carrie. I don't got the gift. I don't have the opportunity. I don't have the setting. Yeah, but you have the same Lord and the same Spirit in you, and you have the same graced opportunity to pray for every person you'll meet, every person you'll talk to, every person you'll encounter or go past in the course of your workday or in the course of your day, whatever you're doing. And you can be there, salt, light, and leaven. You can be that the hands and the feet of Christ. You can shine forth the light and face of Christ in your environment. So it's not just for medical professionals. No, this is for all of us.
Amen.
So yeah. But Carrie, I want to take it further because you took it further. You took this anecdotal thing that connected your life and faith in a surprising and powerful way, and it convicted you to live it out more and more. Well, you went further. And that further involves now the starting of Kingdom Medicine, where miracles and medicine meet. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we're still baby. We're a year old, which is crazy. We are affiliated with Encounter Ministries. I've been working for Encounter now for the last 6 years, and I still am a speaker for them, and I'm an online facilitator for them. But part of Encounter is just this part of their curriculum is really working on kingdom dreams, and this has been a dream in my heart for 20 years, and you know, the pieces started to kind of just come together. And one of the things I think that, you know, is often was missing for me at the beginning trying to walk this out is really community. You know, you kind of feel like you're all by yourself, like you're the only person that's trying to figure out how to do this and what God wants and what's his heart. And it's been such a beautiful thing to like start this nonprofit because we gather all healthcare workers. And I want to be really clear on this because I think a lot of people think, well, maybe this is just for doctors and nurses. And I'm like, no, like, we have physical therapists, we have chiropractors, we have some dentists, we have social workers, we have receptionists.
Oh no, you don't have dentists. There's no way you have a dentist in there.
We have an amazing dentist. She said that her audience is captive because they have their mouth open and they can't say anything.
And you're never more compliant and agreeable as you are with
right?
a dentist who has a drill that he's about to jam into your mouth and do some drilling. I'm just teasing. I know some wonderful dentists that are full of faith, and that's why I was teasing.
Yeah,
but
that's who you want to have be full of faith, right? Is the dentist with the drill in their hand.
Amen to that. I pray for my dentist, let me tell you.
Yes. So. And we have hospital chaplains. We actually even have some Eucharistic ministers because they're like, you know, I bring this incredible gift of the Eucharist to patients in the hospital, but how do I bring the presence within me to the hospital setting? So we have Eucharistic ministers as well. We have retired healthcare workers because I feel like they have just such a beautiful body of knowledge to give the students. And we're very focused on healthcare students as well. We want to get people when they're young to really like learn about like how do I walk with God in everything I do. So our organization is our mission is really to equip, to encourage, to inspire healthcare workers to be the face of Christ and to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that does include teaching people how do you pray, how do you approach that with patients. That's not everything we do. Like the bigger part of it is like, how do you be that presence? And sometimes that includes prayer. Sometimes that includes words of knowledge, or there's gifts of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes that just is incredible compassion and kindness and patience in situations where maybe you wouldn't have that otherwise. So, and we have, several conferences, this big conference coming up in 3 weeks, which I'm very excited about. We have a network that they join, and we have forums, and we have weekly words of encouragement and monthly seminars with big speakers that come in that just inspire us, and we stay connected that way. And we have lots of stuff on the docket as well. And we go out,
I'm
we do a
getting
lot of
tired,
out.
Carrie.
I
I'm getting
know.
tired just listening to you. This is
Just go. We did a really amazing, we're doing a lot of outreach to students. So we went to the University of Houston. We're kind of trying to partner with Newman Centers, which has been incredible. What an incredible gift we have is our Newman Centers. So to partner with healthcare students and to pray with them and to just inspire them has just been so amazing. We have some invites coming up to Notre Dame and University of Mary. So that's coming up in the fall. So lots of good stuff going on. Like, I just feel like this is just God is so hungry to see healthcare revived. Like, he's so hungry to be a part of this. And I just feel that all the time. So that's why we're full throttle. Go.
So here's the thing you mentioned, and again, this Kingdom Medicine conference coming up called
Yeah.
Revive. It's the 25th to the 27th, so it's a Friday through a Sunday in Lexington, Kentucky, and it can be accessed online. And so that's something that I really want to bring out to the folks that are here. And it was one of the reasons why I was like, I want to have Carrie on, not just as a witness to the fact that all of us brothers and sisters are called to be that face and light of Christ in the environments where we're planted, in the professions where the Lord has us. But the fact that you're doing this in medicine is so crucial. And the fact that you're talking about not just setting a good example and being ethical and moral, yes, but it's about discovering and moving in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the gifts and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that this Encounter School of Ministry has been really used by God to help stir into flame in a new way, a perennial gift that's been given to the life of the church. So talk to the folks that are listening about what will be some of the blessings they would get from participating in your Revive conference virtually. What's that going to be like for them?
Yeah, it's so funny you said that because I just was talking to somebody last year who just was so blown away by the presence of the Holy Spirit from last year's conference. She was saying she was watching virtually in her kitchen, and at some point in time, she got down on her knees and was just crying out to the Lord with praise. And her kids came in and were like, "What are you doing, Mom?" And she just said that the Holy Spirit was so heavy over her. She just felt so like just present, even though she was virtual. So those graces that you get virtual are just as amazing as being in person. And the speakers that we have coming are absolutely incredible. We are really, there's two pre-sessions you can sign up for virtually, and those are really kind of those basic kind of like identity in Christ, hearing God's voice and operating in the gifts of prayer and words of knowledge. So it's kind of for people that maybe haven't heard those things before, like maybe you haven't had an experience with Encounter Ministries or another school of healing where you may not know what those are. So there's those two pre-sessions, and then the main session starts on Thursday night, and it goes when we go all day Friday and all day Saturday. And the first speaker is a good friend of mine, Dr. Pete Carter from the UK, all the way up from across the pond. And he's written several books, but he's going to be giving, I can't even wait for this talk. He's going to talk about how to hold the shalom peace of heaven in every moment of your life. And he actually does this. And he walks in this incredible peace, and he's going to share with us about that. And I'm very hungry for that talk. Like, I can't wait to hear that one. Yeah. And
Yeah,
then,
he can move in. I'll have him move into my house. It's just
I
let
was like,
that
how do you do
radiate,
that every
right?
moment? I want to know how to do that. But throughout the conference, a lot of it is really about, The power of like the presence of the Holy Spirit and like and how to move in that. But a lot of it's also just about like how do we see ourselves as children of God, and how do we, what is God really calling us to? What does this really look like? And you know, so there are different kinds of feeling to the different talks. One of my other favorite speakers is Abby Sennett. She is a doctor of nurse practitioner, doctor, and she is in part of Bella Clinic, which is in Denver, and they just won a Supreme Court case against the state of Colorado because they were, I don't know if you heard about this case, but they were prescribing progesterone for pregnancy termination reversal from mifepristone, and the state of Colorado was trying to shut them down. And that crazy case, and that case went to the Supreme Court, and they just won. And their clinic is the most beautiful clinic I've ever been to. Like, they have an adoration chapel in the waiting room. They have, like, it is the most crazy clinic. I just love it. I think they have 76 patient rooms. And her thing, which I just love, is like, you know, like, it's about the dignity and the details. So her thing is like, you know, where as Catholics, we're pro-life, we honor life, but do we actually show a dignity of human life in everything we do? And they do it down to the smallest detail, because they want people to feel like we see your life as so valuable that we're going to bring out the best sheets, not those little paper ones that people get in other clinics, and, you know, beautiful furniture and all these things to give you like this value from God, like before we even like come and talk with you. And so that talk is also one of my favorite. There's so many, I could go on and on. And then Dr. Sean Tobin, who just has a book out, which is called Little Devil, Big God, is going to be speaking about how to like spend your whole day walking with the Lord in a state of worship. So we have peace and we have worship. So I know, good talks. There's lots of ministry that's going to happen and just praying over people. You receive that virtually as well as you do in person. So it's just going to be a really powerful time together, an anointed time together. It's at an incredible cathedral called the Cathedral of Christ the King in Lexington. Absolutely beautiful. So I know if there's something that you feel called to, that you feel like this is something you want to be a part of, that you will be just as blessed virtually as you will in person. But if you can come in person, Lexington is beautiful. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, in the middle of September, it would be lovely, I'm guessing. Probably
yeah.
Just if the leaves are changing, it's probably just at the very beginning of that. So
I don't know if you know, one of the biggest like horse farms up there is a really strong Catholic family that actually built the Adoration Chapel at the cathedral. And man, if you want to go see thoroughbreds too, like the horses out in the running and the rolling hills are just absolutely incredible. So lots of good things in Lexington, but I know not everyone can go to Lexington.
That's really beautiful. That's so powerful. You get to go, and I hope you get to enjoy that too. So
yeah.
The event, again, it begins on Thursday the 25th, and it continues to Saturday the 25th. I think I said Friday to Sunday, but it's actually Thursday to Saturday. Saturday night.
Yep.
It's in Lexington, Kentucky, again, being held at that cathedral there, and of Christ the King. And it's called Kingdom Medicine 2025 Conference. Revive is the theme. And please go to kingdommedicine.org, kingdommedicine.org, and you'll see Carrie there. You'll get to learn a ton more about what Kingdom Medicine is doing to help link together medicine and miracles. And again, go for the sake of the blessings associated with recognizing that medicine and all healthcare is meant to incorporate the center of our lives, but then also go and be inspired to not only just be blessed by that, but to then do that in your life as well. And again, you can sign up for the conference virtually, and there's a link to that right on that main website. Carrie, any final words that you'd want to say as a words of encouragement to folks?
I would just ask that you all pray for us, because I really do feel like this is a huge work of God, and we of course need prayers around that. But I also will be praying for all of you, that you continue to operate in the presence of Christ in everything you do, and you continue to follow your own kingdom dreams wherever God's calling you. So thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate you so much. So nice to be on with you.
Yeah, it's a thrill. And I shall have you on again after the conference. You can tell us about it. That would be awesome.
I would love that. I can't even wait.
Nice. I love it. Well, that's Carrie McMahon. Carrie, thank you so much for being with me on the program today.
Thank you, Tommy. God bless you guys.
Hey, welcome back to the program. That was Dr. Carrie McMahon, and what a wonderful initiative where, again, you heard us talk about this theme of discerning your gifts and putting them at the service of the Lord. And even if it's a profession that is like visibly secular, right, all on its own, it's also something that has the capacity to manifest God's kingdom. And I have had a chance to experience, like, let's call it the miracle of modern medicine, and I'm going to put that in quotes, and at the same time have been part of miracles that have gone beyond what medicine could have, the medical field could have ever envisioned or imagined. And just a couple of quick stories in that regard. Let's call it the miracle of modern medicine. You may have heard through the years me talking about the fact that as Carrie and I have been blessed with children, one of our kids was born with a significant birth defect that required emergency intervention from the time that she was born. When they discovered it, immediately they got her in an ambulance and brought her to a NICU, a neonatal intensive care unit, in the same hospital system. So, called Mary Bridge in Tacoma, and she spent a number of days there, and had surgery the second day in order to literally save her life. And what's striking is that the surgery that they were able to perform here, in some parts of the world, they would not have been able to perform. But it was the advances in technology and in the medical field, and having those things come together and combine to be able to provide doctors and surgeons who can intervene and save a child's life. And over the course of my daughter's first 11 years of life, she had 9 different surgeries, and it involved 3 different children's hospitals, not just the one in Tacoma, but in Denver and in Cincinnati. And so we flew as needed to these different children's hospitals because of the specific expertises that had been grown, that had grown and developed, to be able to help us be able to be a steward of the life of our daughter. Her medical challenges led her to be in a condition of not flourishing. You know, there's a certain statistical category of weight and height, and she pretty much didn't even show up on the chart. She was that low in terms of height and weight for her age. And the funny thing is, if you see her now, she looks normal. But at the time, the number of medical interventions that we needed, surgical, but then also in terms of therapy, we ended up tapping into complementary therapies that had been developed and then were available to us in the Puget Sound area. Thank God for that, for these specialists who were able to help her. And it for us was really miraculous. We could see the hand of God in it, even if the people that we were engaged with were not leading with their faith, right? They weren't saying, "I'm here proclaiming Christ in the midst of my work." And there was none of that. But at the same time, that they were in some ways unwittingly or consciously, or some blend of the two, they were the hand of God to bring and to help recover health, restore health, and grow health and flourishing in our daughter. And how many more, you know, people, how many of us, right, among us could point to that same kind of reality in our lives? So thank the Lord for medical advances. Thank the Lord for the capacity to save so many lives today. And yet at the same time, there are limits that are not able to be addressed effectively, completely, with modern medicine. And so probably the most striking instance of this, where we've seen a, a miracle that went beyond what the medical world could understand, involved praying with friends of ours, a woman who had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and there was a significant lemon-sized tumor that they had discovered. And obviously the community of faith gathered around and prayed with her. Carrie and I went and prayed with her and her husband. And when she went back, it was like this really quick, short window. They discovered it and they're like, we need to come and do a biopsy, and then we've got to get surgery lined up. When she went back in, this is like a day later, they couldn't find the tumor. It's all gone. And so they're like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. And so they had her come back in a couple of days later. And when she went in the room, they did another like X-ray or whatever it was to confirm what they had discovered from the previous couple of days. And there was a team of doctors there, like in the room. Like, she's like, who are all these people? And they want to see the result. And sure enough, the result was confirmed that, gee, on the one hand, you see this scan, and I don't know if it was an X-ray or some other different level scan that showed this significant tumor. And then here's this scan right next to it, and it's all gone. And they were like, we don't know how to explain this. This, we have never seen this before. We do not know how to explain this. And the woman said, well, I have an explanation. It's the Lord. It's Jesus. He healed me. And she was able to witness to them about people prayed, and here's the result. And this was at a Catholic hospital. So they were still like flabbergasted, like amazed. And so you see a miracle that, again, oftentimes we have medicine working in miraculous ways and in such meaningful ways to intervene and help solve our minor illnesses to very serious interventions like that happened in our daughter's case. But then you have the stories of God moving in ways, I like to say the divine physician not only works through and with, but goes beyond what the medical world can accomplish. Because we're talking about the supernatural world. We're talking about the creator of life and of new life. And so through the years, I've had the incredible privilege, the decades really. So for over 30 years, have had a chance to be praying with people for healing, for physical healing, for healing of memories, healing of emotions, for spiritual healing. And that has been, you know, an incredible gift to me to be exposed to a stream of our Catholic faith that had recovered and was growing in and exercising this ministry of healing that the Lord was still engaged in, the Lord was still doing. And you've heard me talk about Encounter, the Encounter School of Ministry, which is another iteration of this revitalization in the life of the church, of this sense of expected faith that the Lord, who performed signs and wonders and deeds of power, performed miracles, healings, exorcisms, supernatural interventions into this world, got people's attention. It's a big attention getter, right? And it does things when a miracle happens and all of a sudden you're open to hear the gospel. Like, I want to hear what this guy has to say. If he can make blind people see and lame people walk and deaf people hear, and he's curing people like this, I want to know what's the message behind such work, such intervention. And so when I think about that, it's something that, if you look at the early church, they continued to operate in the same way, not on their own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the gifts of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who's alive in us from baptism and confirmation, anoints us with not just the sevenfold gifts, right? The sevenfold gifts are wisdom and knowledge and wisdom, understanding, knowledge, etc., along with right judgment or counsel and piety, reverence, fear of the Lord, right? courage. But so these sevenfold gifts of the Spirit are complemented by the what are called charismatic gifts of the Spirit. And that's where you have the gift of miracles and the gift of words of knowledge or prophecy, right? So you've got these specialized gifts that the Holy Spirit continues to pour out upon the church, not just in the lives of saints. In the lives of saints, we see them on display in spectacular ways. But in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, we have these gifts to be able to exercise these gifts because Jesus Christ is alive in us. Last night we had prayer time as a family, and I had each of the girls choose a scripture passage and had a chance to then kind of weave the passages together, right? I just said, look, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to inspire us in the choice of passages, and then let's talk about them. Why did you pick that passage, et cetera? And one of the passages was, you are the light of the world. And it from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And as people see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father. And I said, well, did Jesus say, I am the light of the world, or you are the light of the world? The answer is yes, he did both. And it's like, how could that be the case? And it was, well, Jesus is the light of the world directly, but he's also the light of the world through you. He's so alive in you that you become the light of the world, not because you're the source of light, but because the one who is light itself lives in you. And then it was, well, how do you nurture that relationship with Jesus so much that he grows in you, that the light becomes brighter and bigger in you? And well, through prayer, through the sacraments, baptism, first of all, but through confirmation. And then you nurture it through communion and you remove blockages and restore it through confession, right? So Jesus grows in you, and then Jesus is the divine physician. So he's going to continue to minister even through you. Now, when you have that sense of faith, that sense of living faith, expectant faith, and is complemented by the giftings, the anointings of the Holy Spirit, then when you're praying with people, you can have this sensitivity to see the Lord at work ministering in his healing power. I want you to imagine what that's like, the difference that can make in a married couple's life, where husband prays for wife, wife prays for husband, for healing, for anointing, for blessing. Parents pray for kids. I'm just so grateful to the Lord that Carrie and I could pray with our kids as they have been sick or when they're troubled, that the Holy Spirit would move and minister to them through us, through the prayers that we were praying. So it wasn't simply we prayed to God and said, Lord, please bless them. But the Lord is like, no, I'm alive in you, and I'm going to minister to your kids through you. You see, that's how much I love those kids. And I think that we live in a time again where the Lord is saying, this age, this moment in the history of the church is in desperate need to see the supernatural power of God breaking into this world. And so encounter is one of those places that's being used by God for that purpose, where there's that expectant faith, there's that seeking after these giftings of the Holy Spirit, there's the openness to be led and to pray in those giftings of the Holy Spirit. And as you heard Carrie share, that has been a real critical thing in her own life in ministry. And Carrie and I, as I mentioned, we just started last week. We just started last Wednesday, going to these Encounter School of Ministry sessions, and super excited about that. And anyways, so there you go. All right, I'm coming up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to share with you a bit more about another theme that has been really a big deal in my life in these most recent days. And I want to share that with you as well. What is it? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kern. It's great to be with you. Does it ever happen to you where you're trying to discern, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to like get involved in that ministry or take on that volunteer position? Am I supposed to sign up for this event? So for me, it has been a lot of that's like being sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit is the idea that, Oh, am I supposed to say yes to go be involved in that event, right? Oh, am I supposed to say yes to lead that retreat or to go give that talk or to get involved in that series of talks? Sometimes it's just go to an event. And so and I can tell you when I'm forcing it, when it's something that is just more like coming from me, I can tell there's this like subtle way that I use that phrase forcing it. I can feel like, okay, you know what? This is something that I'm trying to make happen on my own. This is not something that is from God. But sometimes I'll just push through it. And I've learned through the years that when I push through it, and then as the event gets closer, I say to myself, why did I agree to this? What was I thinking? And I remember back, you knew, Tom, you had it in the back of your mind, that little sensitivity that you ought not to do that. And it can be also in little things, right? Like, should I send this text? Should I say this to this person? Should I send this email to this person? Should I make this phone call in conversation? Do I go there into that little aspect of things, right? And this is good because we learn the way that we are called to be available to the Holy Spirit, to be led. It's what's led by the Holy Spirit. We can become increasingly sensitive and sensitized to the nudge, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that prompting might be not only to do something, but to restrain ourselves from doing something. And I got to experience that this past weekend. So this past weekend, I ended up driving up to Coeur d'Alene to be part of a fundraising brunch for a Discalced Carmelite community. And I won't get into that so much. I want to honor what Mother Superior has said to me about not really promoting it as an activity. Like, I want you to send them money. So I'm not doing that. It's not why I'm bringing this up. But there was something that said to me, I need to be there. I need to be at that event. And so it was one of those things that I had agreed to go. And I had agreed to go in part because I'm the real estate agent involved in helping sell their existing convent because they're building a new one. And so there was a natural connection to these sisters and to their to the activity they're going through. So I wanted to be there in part because professionally it made sense to be there. But there was something else going on. There was something that said, Tom, you're supposed to be there. And I didn't know what it was. All I knew was there was that, like, that little push that said go. And so going meant that on Friday night, after my daughters had their volleyball game, their varsity volleyball game, which ended just after 9 o'clock in the evening, off I went to drive to get up to Coeur d'Alene, which is about almost 7 hours away, leaving at 9 in the evening for a breakfast the next day. So I ended up driving until about 1 in the morning, and just got off the highway, went to a little, you know, hotel motel, slept for a handful of hours, got back up, got myself dressed and ready, and headed to the event. I was at the event for a couple of hours, stopped by another house that I am selling right now, and just needed to do a couple of things at that house, and headed back another 7 hours. And it was like, wow, I spent more time driving than I about by about seven times more time on the way there and back than I did on site itself. And it's like, well, was that worth it? Was that worth what it cost in terms of time? And did I really need to be there? And the answer is that while I was there, I definitely had this sense of I'm in the right place. I'm supposed to be here. And I didn't have like this big epiphany while I was there. I didn't have this the heavens opened and the Lord spoke to me, and I it was like, oh, this is why for sure I was supposed to be at the event. But I did get a couple of what are called a couple of handholds, a couple of things that I held on to that made me say, yeah, this was right. One of them was I met a couple from Boise. Ta-da. They had been invited up. They came to the event. I'd never met them before. And sure enough, just yesterday, Carrie went to a faith sharing group that this wife was in. And so they had a chance to make a connection. And I said to Carrie, I said, that very well could have been the reason that the Lord loves you enough to get you that sisterly fellowship with this woman and her group. That's why that happened, because we've been praying for fellowship. Lord, who are you leading us to connect in with, right? To be able to go deeper together in our life of faith. But there's another reason, and that had to do with the Discalced Carmelite community. And by that, I mean like the whole tradition of Discalced Carmelites, going back to St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, right? But you remember I've mentioned Sister Mary of St. Peter. Sister Mary is the sister, the religious, the Discalced Carmelite sister, who in the 1840s received these messages from the Lord about the Holy Face devotion and embracing this devotion as a work of reparation. And there is this way in which she lived out her life of faith through an act of radical self-offering, through an act of complete surrender and abandonment to the Lord for his purposes, for the fulfillment of his plans. And it led her into all kinds of like challenging trials and difficulties, even within her Discalced Carmelite community and with her local bishop, who never came around to believe and accept that these messages were from God, such that he would follow through on what she was saying the Lord was asking through these messages. And in fact, the Lord ended up raising up this layperson, Leo DuPont, and a lawyer who had a tremendous sense of devotion to the Lord and a willingness to undertake a life of reparation against these sins that I've talked about, against the first three commandments. And I've, for whatever mysterious reason, been led back into these writings again. And I find it very interesting. Like, oh, what is the Lord unfolding here? What is the Lord unfolding in our lives down here, where there's this connection between this call to seek his face, to seek the face of the Lord, and to seek the face of the Lord in an act of reparation for the sins blasphemy and sins against the Lord, keeping holy the Lord's day and idolatry, but also with the miraculous, the signs and the wonders and the miracles that came forth from Leo DuPont, and thousands of miracles recorded, more than any other saint in the history of the church. And so there's this intimate connection that I think we've lost sight of, not only a lack of appreciation for the miraculous and the supernatural breaking through, but also of the fundamental importance of fasting and doing works of reparation. That's worth digging into further, but not today because I'm out of time. So I'll be talking about this in the days to come. God bless.